You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Yeah, I was going to make a death in the live stream and you jumped in. You know you did. Now move. How did you know that? Have you got some kind of sixth sense? How did you even know? I've only just sat at the table. I've only just finished cleaning the fridge. What have you been doing? Spying on me. I've just noticed and knew I'm going to stop talking like that. And you can get off the table and you bug off, man. Or don't come your old coughing cat rubbish. Huh? Or just toss, is it better? No, honestly. No, that isn't. It's uncanny. Worse than uncanny. No, and I'm not fussing. I'm not even talking to you. I was... What's the matter? Don't purr, then. Don't purr. Don't be coming for an organ. Don't... No. Your version of shaking hands is not shaking hands. It's more like clawing people's eyes out. Now get down, bug off. And I was going to mention something. I really was. Because people will get sick of it now. Pack it in. Because you might be fake after all. Now go away. I'm going to do a sound check. Make a date. I don't like the cats on this bloody table. Don't shake. And how can you have done that? You are this. Come on, if you want to make a day, you'll have to make one. You're not having your dinner. Go clear off, man. I need to concentrate. I need to focus. And I'm not going to mention you in this. Where are you going now? It's nice to see you and everything. But that is uncanny. I have reason to believe it for foreign agencies. Just as I was going to mention, make a date. Because, well, I was listening, and the thing was, is I always fancied if, but I always thought, don't look at me like that. I always thought Phil and Josh saying do to get on well together, for one reason or another. So, having heard them both, you have sport it, you know, Kat. Plus, I wanted to see whether that works, because we had some hi-fi there. Had Mr. Blue Sky, though. You're a bit like that raccoon in Guardians of the Galaxy, you are. Honorable Cat. He said that. Not only. Mainly the cats. Right. Switch it off, Chris. That's not what you're after. Oh, yeah, make a date. So, I can't think of one. The 48th of Flabberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberber But I did notice, well, I didn't notice, but then I did hear, because I was listening back, without the A-list subtitles. Sorry about that. Farkas, how can you Farkas when bloody cats are near you? Come on in, bunghead, now. I wanted to keep this short and sweet. It is nice to see you. Go away, though. That's it. Oh, yeah. Rhino's back. Let's have a chat. Sorry about that. Oh, Frank the Salt Guy. Yeah, I heard he must have been around. And, well, you know what those troubles are. Some bad pennies are like. They keep turning up. But I'll have to mention him. I'd like to make a date, Frank. Sometime in the future. In the new sphere. One or two things I want to ask you. For no particular reason at all. Oh, there's a pinned message in Make a Date. You see, This is the live stream. Get out of it now. Just now.
Well, everyone else in the world.
Let's just get this up here. Steve Jones, let's get you off there.
One, two, Captain. How you doing?
Hey, how are you, Tom? Just let me tune this up a bit. My audio is conked out.
Yeah, I was trying to get someone else to come in from the Discord, just because I didn't really want to just go solo, as it were, one-on-one. I just wanted to just sit back, perhaps, and...
All right, so, hold on.
Hey, you know.
Hello, Tom. Sorry, I couldn't hear anything you just said. I just connected here. It's, what day is it today? It's Wednesday, May 10th, 2017. I'm in the audio chat with one of my all-time favorites, Tommy Delfer, and he's all alone. All his friends didn't want to come in from the general chat.
Yeah, well, yeah, I just say, I wanted to, I just said it, actually. It's probably, yeah, I won't say it again.
All right.
But yeah, no one else has come in, have they? Yeah, but yeah, it's been a little bit of a flurry of activity, interestingly, around the...
It's been very busy at fakeologist.com. It's been going off the charts. Really busy, really great, really good activity and participation on all kinds of topics.
Yeah.
Why don't I get
that was worth a few words, at least, you know, interesting, you know, stuff.
Oh, this has been off the charts. I remind you, Mr. Delpro, we have... a couple sub-blogs that have been very busy. We've got egi.fakeologist.com. We have moreab.fakeologist.com. Have you ever been to moreab.fakeologist.com?
Yeah.
I put the audio there that's not fakeologist-related.
They do catch my eye sometimes, and some of them are interesting. They're sort of a lot. Often you put your sort of self-help stuff in there and diet stuff.
Yeah, so there is other stuff that's not fakeologist-related.
Stuff is. I get something from it, yeah.
Well, good. Okay, I wasn't sure if you go to that section. I see something all.
I even look in the EGI, and you know what I think of that. But I still look in there, and you learn from things. This is the beauty of it. This is what you learn, don't you? Then you get something positive out of it. You read between the lines with something. You can always learn.
Oh, very good. Good.
I think so.
Well,
you know.
I put a lot of just plain old mainstream transgender stuff as well in EGI, and that's just stuff out of the mainstream media. So even if you don't believe that anyone is inverted at all, there's still information that I find that's influencing children. And because we both have children, I think we're pretty concerned about.
If you just had a, yeah, if you just called the transgender agenda sublog, and then just posted anything up around that subject, then I wouldn't have a problem with it at all, because it's something that's there. You know, I certainly agree that, you know, it's something that's there, is some kind of agenda that's pushed, you know. So it's all good stuff. So there, you've got your sub blogs there, as you say.
All right, good. But, did you listen to all the, what's
relevant
Jaredism
to the controversy? Yes, is the sub-blog for Ball Earth Skeptic.
Yeah, well, actually, I didn't even put the Hoaxbuster call with Chris in that area, just because this isn't really into Flat Earth in any way or Ball Earth Skepticism. So I just left it in the main blog, because that's usually where I post Chris's audios. But that's pretty interesting. I've never heard him riled up in a long time.
Oh, yeah. No, it would be interesting. So we could have a chat about that very quickly, but I must get a drink first, Tim. I'm sorry. I just sort of come in. We didn't go to the lobby, did we? Yeah,
go
can we be silent
for a minute? Yeah, go.
Yeah. Beautiful. It's still there,
yeah,
Tim.
Yeah, I've got about 20 minutes, just so you know.
Brilliant. Well, that suits me. Okay, great. Yeah.
And I was trying to get Manic to come in, but he's a little shy. We need some new voices, as always. There's lots of lurkers now. It's not like that, what do you call it, chat? The chat tango. You never
had that audio capability. Accessible, this Discord thing. It's quite trendy, isn't it? So perhaps it's a platform people are sort of think that's caught on a bit. But it is very, it looks nice, doesn't it? It's easy to use.
And, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, as has been said on audio before.
Well, the fact that you can flip into the audio is great, too.
Yeah, very easy. Just slip in. My daughter uses it. You know, she's talking about it.
Okay.
But it's just sort of, it's, She's always, I always say she's quite a gauge for the edge of what the, you know, people are listening to and doing. The young.
You have to get some junior fakeologists on here. What do you think? Would that be a proper thing to do?
That's quite a good question, actually, isn't it? Well, I don't see why not. I mean, you could ask young people what they think about things, and they're,
yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, not just normal conversations, I suppose. I have that with my children.
Yeah.
Do you sort of go, do they know that you're firmly in the camp of thinking 9/11 was fabricated, a whole completely contrived event, so to speak?
Oh, yeah. As much as they want to know about it, they have access to. I'm not sure they're too worried about any of my views on anything at the moment. But, yeah, they're fully aware. They're fully under the thing that they you think you are tired of hearing me talk about EGI. They really don't like it. They really pushed back.
Well,
Don't talk about this one like that, and don't talk about people they like. Don't talk about him. Don't tell me it's him too. Don't they're heard.
You're right off on one with that one, though, aren't you? I mean, the suggestions here, there, and everywhere. Do you honestly think that every supermodel is a transvestite? You don't
Not transvestite. Transgender. We're talking
transgender. Oh, I'll get it right.
Well, I don't know every supermodel, and actually it was funny because on the Howard Stern show that I used to listen to, and I'm now convinced it's a tranny den, a den of transgender, including him possibly. He's just the strangest person ever. I still lean towards him being a man. But anyhow, he was often saying that, I lost my train of thought for a second. Too bad. See, I took a detour, and then I can't get back on the main road with what I was thinking
born.
About.
Well, Howard Stern was talking about transgender or something. Something Howard Stern said.
Well, yeah, I can't remember.
Your children won't speak to you, or, you know.
I know. I'd have to rewind the tape and see what I said, and I can't remember. But, well, I can just easily say that Howard Stern is definitely a transgender agenda pusher, and he's been pushing it for a long time, and I didn't even know it, really, honestly.
Yeah, but
now, he had admitted guests that were screwing around surgically with their sexuality, and he would mock them endlessly, and he was pretty brutal about it. And he claimed that he even looked between the legs of one called Nicole Bass, and he always mocked the voice and whatnot. Oh yeah, getting back to supermodels. Yeah, Fred on the show often would, they'd have a argument about who's a supermodel and who's not. And there was one, I guess Janice Dickinson, I think, always claimed or was purported to be a supermodel. And I think Fred would always say, no, she's not a supermodel. And I never knew what his criteria was, quite honestly. And I can't remember his explanation about why this person was and this person's not. But my latest theory is they promote these supermodels and they are most probably EGI candidates because they're so odd looking for the most part, and I don't find them beautiful. Most of them I don't find beautiful at all. I find them, well, now I know why they're so odd looking, because they probably are skinny males that have been somewhat altered to be portraying as females, and I never found most of them attractive at all. And now maybe I'm just saying, now I know why.
Well,
but the language they use
problem. Because I thoroughly enjoy watching models walking down a catwalk. Especially the sort of, perhaps a Roberto Cavalli underwear shows, that sort of thing.
No, but you've probably been with way more women than I have. How many women look like them? Are they called supermodels just to emphasize the fact that they are held as an elite super class of beautiful women, when in fact they don't really they don't represent what a woman looks like in real life?
Their clothes seem to look, it's a good question. This is a reasonably interesting question. Why are models promoted in the shape they are? Is it not because the clothes hang well on them? Are they not good dummies for clothes? What about the idea of slimness, sort of fitness and healthiness? You know, you don't want something, see, you wouldn't want a sort of round model, so it's natural that they're
None of the supermodels that I've ever seen look healthy. They all look gaunt. That's the best word for them.
Good question, but not eating properly to keep your weight off and stuff. The culture in the
But, I think it's because they are prepubescent males that have been hormonally altered. That's why. And no women can ever look like that. That has a normal set of female hormones pulsing through her veins. That's why. And it's destructive. Oh, that's a man. Jeez, she is. Yeah, there's no doubt that's not a woman. That's not that is not a naturally born woman. No way. Now, I've often said that these EGI individuals are stuck in between, and that really gives them a special category, which, of course, I believe the elite crave. And so for me to say she's a man, well, of course, she is not a man. She's not a man anymore. She's literally in between. She's stuck in between, and you can't really go back once you've started the treatments and lopping off parts if required. And I'm not saying it is required, actually, but I wouldn't do it. I don't even like having a wart removed. I don't know how they can go about all the things they do. They have to be very, very mentally ill, in my mind. Are you still there?
Harry Hall? Yes.
Okay. That was a super pregnant pause.
Well, I wasn't prompted to respond at that point. Yes, you were in the middle of a flow.
Yeah, it was good, but I just paused because I don't want to filibuster the channel.
You're allowed to, you can do what you like here. Yeah, well, can't we talk about Chris and Jaron?
Yeah, in our remaining 15 minutes, let's talk about that.
Okay, yes, because we're on time. We've got 20 minutes, suits me about right. I just think John LeBon might have just dropped into the, anyway, might not have done. It's all going on. Yes. How did they get together, I wonder? Who initiated that?
I think Chris called him. I think that's what he said. He just called him on Skype.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring Jaron back. I'm going to reach out to him. I want to talk to him because he dabbles in a lot of other things. He's totally wrong, I think, about the Hampstead case. But I don't know the Hampstead case. That's a British case, so maybe you'd be better off talking to him about that.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, it's very – Chris said, are you sure he's not NASA? Are you sure? Either. At all. I think he speaks wonderfully. He speaks really well. I've always liked listening to him. And you see, the thing where I am, different from Chris maybe, is that I'm still compelled by the idea. Yeah, I'm still saying, where is the curvature? But I think those Ghostbusters guys, whatever they were, the Phillybusters, whatever you call them.
They're still going.
With their sort of, they seem, yeah, they're still going. Much as I found some of the likable, with Jaron in particular.
Yeah.
Well, got the weird heebie-jeebies from Bob, but they just definitely seem like some kind of deliberately, you know, like agents of this flat earth thing, you know. And it was a fucking psyop. And it was a psyop in the sense of, like, you know, attached flat earth to everything. And it spread right across the internet. Anything that spreads like that is probably, you know what I mean, in retrospect. Psyop of 2015. Doesn't mean there's not something in it.
But if you listen to Jaron, he's not saying the earth is flat. But it's also a possible false dialectic. It's a false choice. Now, I don't think that, I think he even brought up the earth with somebody said the earth could have been some kind of diamond shape, which is very bizarre to say the least, but.
Really, to be more agnostic about it.
Yeah. Well.
Position, I mean, really. Yeah.
I like what, Frank, the salt guy said. I don't always like what Frank says. And by the way, Frank, if you're listening, there's a lot of media saying that salt is a major problem. I'm sorry. I'm not salting my tongue anytime soon like some people are. So for every one story that says salt is good for you, the media, even though we know what the media is all about, there are 20 media stories and studies portrayed making salt not good for you, or sodium anyway. So I did see Frank came over to the Discord. So I thought Frank made some pretty clear points with Chris. And yeah, he was being a little repetitive and systematic with it, but I think he was right.
Frank, though, we remember, is very good at arguing a point of perhaps I wouldn't agree with. In the term, we remember Dallas Goldbug. He said disprove.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, it's...
Well, on one level, you can't. You go, hold on, no. Stop it, Frank. Go away. I know this is bullshit. But he starts trying to twist it around with that. And I mean, that's the kind of thing he can do with it. You know, it's a funny one with the flat earth. You can perhaps.
Well, I think the only reason he says Dallas Goldbug, and this is a statement I do agree with, is that we have a model, and we can't prove a model, but we can disprove a model. So I think that the globe Earth model is easily disprovable, or at least in part, and that's what he's saying. Now we don't actually have a good model.
Well, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, and I was not against what you're saying either. Yeah.
He keeps saying Dallas Goldbug has a model where certain people are other certain people, and I think we can easily disprove it by just looking at these people, that they're not the same person. And that disproves that one in my mind. I don't need any deep research. I can see for a fact that Jodie Foster is not the former Prime Minister of Australia. I can just see that with my own eyes. I don't need to do anything extra for that.
Yeah, yeah, makes a fair point. And when you look across and you see that what they call the mirage, is it Chicago, the classic one they show?
Well, I don't even understand the mirage. I think that's total misdirection. I think when I'm not in Chicago. I'm in Toronto, and I look across, and I can see almost all the building when I look across. I don't see the curve obscuring enough of the building. I don't see it obscuring enough of the building.
No,
that's it. It obscures some of it, and that could be just the way our vision works.
It sounds stupid. I get to start thinking that I'm stupid talking about it. Sort of 2 years later, after we 2.5 years later after we started. There's Abs. You're right, mate. He's on and off here. Abs.
Yes.
Abs.
Hold on. Oh, Abs. Hello, Abs. You're Abis. In.
Yeah, I'm in. You guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little far from your mic. And I've only got 10 more minutes, but go ahead, Abiz.
No, I was just hopping on to say hi to you guys.
Nice chatting with you, Abiz.
I don't have anything important to say. No, I'm just working,
Did you listen to Chris's call?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think? Let's get your feedback real quick.
Oh, man. It was kind of painful, but I mean, I kind of get where he's coming from. But I like Frank, too. I thought Frank's points, it made sense, you know. But I also get what Chris is saying, too, you know, someone was kind of torn on it, but it's good to have those kind of huge discussions about it, in my opinion, so I approved overall.
Yeah, I agree. I think I don't really fall any which way. I wasn't bagging on Chris. I think he was mentioning my name. I didn't really bag on him. I just thought that he was getting frustrated, he was getting upset, and Jaron kept his cool, and it doesn't really matter what one thinks. If you can't convince others of your way of thinking, then it really doesn't matter what your model is. If everyone doesn't believe you, then you're not doing a good enough job giving your point of view, in my opinion. It really, the onus falls on the person that's trying to do the convincing. And obviously, Chris needs a lot more convincing. And I thought the flight was a red herring. And that's a really hard to prove, the flight, all that stuff.
Yeah, but it's been proved pretty much. Jaron admits now, that came out of the audio, Jaron admits that the flights exist.
Yeah.
He effectively accepts they exist with high altitude flying in the jet stream or whatever, possibly, you know, and fair enough to theorize around these things. And it becomes interesting. And the MH370 got lost down there because there's something weird going on down there in the lines of longitude and latitude or whatever.
Yeah, Jaron thinks it's a real flight, it seems.
Yeah, he changed his position a little bit. I felt that Jaron used to be a kind of committed to flat. He was sort of saying that, actually, no, I'm not. So he seems to have revised his position.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I don't listen to Jaron's talk show, and I don't listen to agnostic. Lusters anymore.
Does he not do it?
No, he does. It's hard to get. I don't think there's a good feed for that Truth Frequency Network, so I don't listen because I don't get it. easily onto my phone and I forget about it.
Yeah.
And I don't listen to Globebusters because I got tired of listening to it as well because we were going around in circles. But
Going around fake circles around a fake planet. Fucking hell.
You can still do circles around a plane. See, that's the funny thing. Of course, you can still do circles. You circle around the North Pole. It's the North Pole's in the middle. There's no difference in the model.
I suppose looking at the size of the sun, as it gets bigger and smaller, but it doesn't, does it, as it rises and sets? Doesn't it remain the same size? That was always a good one for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's a business take on it? Abiz, what do you think? Where do you fall in the whole baller skeptic debate?
Oh, I fall in the baller skeptic, but I don't know about models or how any of it works or anything, but considering everything that we've been shown by people is mostly BS, you know, I definitely doubt the ball.
Well, yeah. I mean, SMJ put that classic bit of sort of science, history in there.
Yeah.
That Wallace was the guy,
too, you know, I don't even know what part of history you can believe either, so I'm kind of...
Bevel experiment was classically proved wrong in history, and this has goes down to Wallace, who was a co-creator or you know, perhaps an assistant with, Darwin.
I think water finds its own level, and it's hard
for me to... Co-author of evolution, really, is the way of putting it. Sorry, yeah, and there he is.
Yeah, the whole water being level and finding its own level and it being still and flat and calm, that's kind of a pretty strong evidence to me that it's not on the outside of a ball. But
there's a lot of problems with the ball and it's spinning. It's all related. If it's a ball and it's spinning, if it's a ball, it has to be spinning, I believe, for the sun model to work. So there's a lot of things. And how can the water stay in one place if it's spinning and it, that all doesn't make sense at all. There's a lot that doesn't make sense with the ball Earth. There's a lot of extra theories and whatnot that need to be layered onto the ball to make it work, including the Einsteinian nonsense.
Right. Yep, I agree, man. There's nothing concrete for me to latch onto, but I definitely doubt the ball. I'm baller skeptic, along with you. Count me on baller skeptic.
No, that's a good term. We need a new model, and we need it soon. We need a model.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking for. Let's have a model. Let's figure it out. There's supposed to be 8 billion people on the planet, or 9 billion, or 6. I don't know. Somebody can figure it out. We know Stephen Hawking can't figure it out.
It's an oblate spheroid, Dab.
I'll tell you one thing. Whoever is treating Stephen Hawking, whatever drug company that is, they should be rich. And all the other people that have ALS, they shouldn't be dying so damn quick. That's really the story about Stephen Hawking, if that was true.
Yeah, you do remember that. I live in Cambridge, where he lives, and I have seen him. I told you, didn't I?
No, I think so, but which version did you see? Because it looks like he's changed over the years and not just aging either.
And I don't know, but that would be, I don't know. That is interesting to me, because having seen...
How can you live with ALS that long? It doesn't make any sense. He's the longest...
They've kept him alive because they can. Maybe he's... I don't know. I'm just with him. He could have access to certain drugs.
Oh, nonsense. Well, that's bullocks. Now you're making excuses. It's nonsense.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just riffing.
Okay, show me one other person that's lived that long with ALS. I don't think there is one. You'd read about it, you'd be able to find out about it. You should call the ALS Society on the phone and say, can you give us someone who's also lived more than, well, this guy's supposed to, what, 60 years with it, for God's sakes?
Most people
that drink and smoke don't live that long, that are perfectly normal.
Yeah, I know.
Have you ever looked up what the normal life expectancy should be?
Yes, it's 2 to 5 years on average.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. See, for me, it's at the point of mockery, is his situation. It's just, they're just laughing their heads off at this point. Anyway, yeah. I got to sign out, guys. Sorry. I'll let you guys go at it if you want. Go for a bit more.
Oh, I got to go, too. I was just hopping on to say hi. I'm about to hit another stop, so when you go off.
All right.
Good talking to you, fellas.
Nice chat with you, old mate.
All
right, I gotta go, Tom. Nice chat with you. Thanks for always showing up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Oh, good fun. Cheers, man. Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you. And go look up old Stevie Boy. See if you can get a picture.
Stevie, huh? You're just about to listen to another fucking hour of this shite. Ding, ding. You're fucking pissed and you're falling asleep, you cunt. Fucking talking.
I'm still hanging out in here?
No, I've gone, mate. Yes, I am, Abbey's, Texas.
What's going on, man?
Oh, just fucking about. Yeah, I just thought Tim's just left the stream, and I just thought I'd imitate the interlude bell. Yeah, I'm just midnight here in England. I'm just sort of chilling out. Just was in the chat for a bit, and Manic was in there, wasn't he? Bless him. And he was complaining of Manic by name, Manic Depression by Nature, or something. But yeah, you need something.
He was in there typing. Was he in the call too? I thought it was just Tom. Is this Rolo?
No, this is Tom.
Oh, hey Tom. Okay, I thought so.
Yeah, and Rolo's in here, but I think he's listening, but he's got his microphone off.
Okay.
You fucking mute, fucking wanker. Where are you? Come on, you little Aussie. No, I mean, twat tonight. But yes, splendid. Yes, Tim was trying to talk about we did talk a bit about it, didn't we? About the old flat earth thing and the Chris thing. A bit fun, but I suppose Chris was sort of saying, I think it's still questions. I think I was quite a good pool player, snooker player and pool player, but one day I didn't have an innate ability for knowing sort of spatially tactical awareness in the game. And it, with these balls around the table.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
Here we go. I preferred the other one, to be honest, but it's just a matter of taste.
That scares me every time.
Yes, it's that those robotic voices have a kind of slightly unnerving quality to them, don't they? You almost always want to sort of answer back to them.
Yeah.
Put them in this technological, digital, don't need fucking anyone behind the counter age, aren't we?
Yeah, he's got it all automated now.
Yeah, that's all good fun. I don't mind it. You know, it's like a sort of, it's a ritual, like a call to prayer. Every time we hear it, we should sort of perhaps, take all our clothes off and get down on our knees and start crying.
Yeah, just have a moment of silence.
Totally humble moment of total sort of being close to nature. sorry, I'm exaggerating probably.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, all good fun. But it is funny when you think, my God, I don't actually know. It could be that we might not be living on a ball. I mean, it makes so much sense in some ways, both ways, I think.
The things that really bug me about the ball are like,
I'm so fucking small that you can, you know what I mean? That you can actually work it both ways. You silly little head. Very, very simple question. Where is the curvature? From miles, you can see islands, but is this looming? Is it just what they call looming?
Earth.
And does that just happen all the time? It doesn't look like it. Then you put your telescope to the eye, you can see right across to other beaches, beach to beach, on the level, can't you?
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to be able to, when it's supposed to be feet difference. I'm sure that's, in a sense, it seems like it could be a huge one on one hand. On the other hand, if you start talking to people about it, I mean, that really is a well-stigmatized subject, isn't it? A real taboo. Even considering it, you idiot. It's like a tenet of science, of perhaps in the psychology of scientific understanding, anyway, of the civilized world. You know, of course it's cool.
It's supposed to be common knowledge. You're an idiot.
It's one of those big ones, yeah. And it's very convincingly been put into my head that it's like the most unscientific thing. Flat. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
Yes. Well, it's, but then at the same time, I am still agnostic. As I say, I'm open-minded. So I've got to see both sides. Not see both sides in such a way, but in the way that I'm not sure it is flat. I don't know what the fuck it is, man.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't either. But I mean, shouldn't you people have to prove that it's a ball floating at 5,000 miles an hour or whatever?
Yeah, they've been in the fucking miles up on the way to the moon in 1972. Why the fuck they never took more pictures, I don't know. And got that fucking lovely one of the blue marble.
That looks like horseshit to me, all that moon crap.
Well, that's gotta be horseshit. How can you take a fucking picture out of the Hasselblad camera from 17,000 miles and not been able to do anything since?
Exactly.
Blurry grey composites. And are these blurry grey composites any grey, you know, are they, what the fuck, you know? Oh man.
Yeah, I just don't buy the whole galaxy thing. I think,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, so exactly. So we don't know really what it looks like. And then when you go up on the Red Bull thing, the lens there, do we see a curve, or is that the curved lens? Would you remember that Red Bull skydive?
Yeah, wasn't that fisheye lens camera the whole time?
Yeah, they used that, didn't they? Yeah, I suppose the GoPro thing.
Yeah, that looked like it was just curved lens to me, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps they're doing it on purpose to sort of throw a curve to the flat earthers.
I know, but it looks like obvious. They do that lens anyway, you know, like a lot of, you know, you got skateboarding videos and dirt bike videos and all that, and they always use that fisheye lens to make it look cool or something, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd like somebody to prove it's a globe also, as much as I'd like them to prove it's flat. I'm not convinced either way, so just a limbo, I guess.
Yeah, well, I enjoy a lot of Chris's thinking and sort of, you know, I over time I've learned quite a lot listening to him and that science. So, you know, I didn't like to see him get too emotional, but he did seem to be getting a bit emotional. But in a way, I thought that made him quite real. When he comes in with his belief in a creator, you know, I almost sense sort of go, wow, bless him. I don't know if that's a, doesn't sound patronising, but I you know, I feel sort of drawn to sympathy, drawn to him as perhaps a genuine character. I don't know. It's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I believe there's a creator too. I don't, yeah. So I'm not or anything like that, but I still appreciate fakery. I don't believe in organized religion whatsoever. I don't believe in that shit at all.
Well, I'm agnostic about a creator, for example. I'm agnostic about that, but yeah, I mean, I'm a believer in a great force. I'll say that. Whatever this life force is, seems pretty amazing to me. I believe in that.
Yep, agreed.
Something amazing is going on.
I just don't think it's all random chance, you know, the evolutionary model. I don't think that makes any sense at all.
Oh, well, Chris was saying about that, wasn't he? He feels it's not random chance. I must admit, I suppose my take on that is, well, for whatever it is, it just is. It can't, is that not possible?
We know it is. There's no doubt about that. I mean, we're here, so that's for sure. It definitely is.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of, that's what is, tells Isis.
But that's right.
What is? I think, yeah, I think.
I got to my destination, man. I got to go. It was good talking to you, brother.
Hey, man, thanks for dropping back in. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. Yeah, cheers, man. All the best. Yeah. Take care.
You too, brother. Bye. Yep, bye.
Ding, 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 ding. Ah. Rolo, you fucking wanker. You're in there and you've unmuted your mic and you haven't said anything. Say something. Nah. He's gone for another sherbet. And he came back. Who was he shilling for this time? God knows. or something? Is that how he's retired now? Will you just shit on the internet? Will you troll various sites? I can't do that. God, I'm a nice guy. Just get drunk and just sort of ring up, you know, that sort of thing. Oh, okay, said Trollo. And off he trolled. And he went trolling and rolling and trolling and shilling. And trolled around the whole interwebs for all his little life. And enjoyed himself tremendously. Getting very, very drunk on fantastic wages. Because, of course, these agents are paid huge sums of money. Vast sums of incredible filthy lucre. Pumped into their bank accounts repeatedly on a daily basis. It's so important, you know. Hey there, darling. You're unmuted and I can't hear you. Are you trying to speak? Put a message in the chat. Be right back, he says. Be right back. What the fuck? Shake this fucking balls. Yeah, exactly.
So here we are. So here we are on the 11th, my favorite date of the month, May 2017. Tommy, how are you, brother?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. You were getting some wicked feedback, I think, through ABYZ, was it? There was some wicked feedback going on there.
Yeah, I could not hear it. It was very mild, my end, dear.
Yeah, I was listening to it.
Where have you been trolling? What's
up? You sound like you're in a rockin' mood. You're in a rockin' mood. How's life treating you, mate?
Never know me when I'm happy, have you? No, I mean,
I'm extremely happy.
I'm in a better mood than I have been, I suppose, in some ways, yes.
I think because Fakeologist has done really well with this Discord thing. I think he's done really, really well, and he's getting lots of new people talking. And what's up?
He didn't design it though, did he? But it just is putting it on here. Yes, it has done well for it. Yes, it has. It seems to have gotten livened up and everything.
Have you played any tunes today? Any piano tunes? Have you got your,
No, I didn't think
that. Well, pull it up and did you listen to, Dell and Pete Sheehan's, lock in?
I did hear some of that for sure. Yeah. The one that Tim dropped into it earlier on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Here
we go. I'm only on absinthe tonight. Manic's asking, what did you drink tonight? I'm only on absinthe tonight.
Yeah, someone asked me what I was drinking tonight, you know. And I'm like, listening or something. I can't listen. Yeah.
Well, have you had a spliff or two, or are you still compass med?
I mean, you know, obviously I, you know, as someone who works as a, you know, in a care environment, I'm not allowed to take any.
Okay. I shouldn't ask that question. Did you listen to the AIDS guy, David Crowe?
Oh, I didn't actually. I never got around to that one. I didn't listen to that yet.
You should. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, Ab did a really good. When it comes to producing, Ab can produce. When it comes to like a fantastic piece of audio, yeah, it's one of the best ones. He started with Simon Shack's. I can't remember which tune it was. It's one of the ones off September Clues, and then he started playing Neil Young. The Damage Done? Do you remember? Yeah.
Oh, yes. Damage.
The Damage Done. As Ab and Typo said, it's quite maudlin. But...
that one, yeah. That's a beautiful song.
It is. It is. It can be quite depressing, but hey, I've been depressed all my life. When I listen to songs like that, they cheer me up.
Exactly. Shit, Dad, I love that. I'm never happier than when I'm crying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What are you crying about? My friend died the other day, or a while back, a good friend of mine, and I cried like the whole day. I couldn't believe it that he was dead. I couldn't believe he was dead. He died young. Too young. 44 years old. He wasn't 47. He was 44. Christ, oh, fuck almighty, that's too young to die. How old are you again, Tom? You're about my age, aren't you? 47?
Yeah. I'm 49.
49, yeah, just a little couple of years on me, yeah. Yeah.
Just barely, you know, yeah, just a youngster.
Yeah, yeah, you're only getting started.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they say 50 is the new, new age.
The new 20.
Yeah. Well, of course it is. Of course it fucking is, if not earlier. And that's what the fucking fakery is all about. They don't tell you that. But no, do they tell you? No. And they make you think you're really old. But you're not. Nor am I.
This is amazing. Exactly. This Discord, the fidelity on this Discord thing is just amazing.
Oh, the fidelity is absolutely gorgeous, darling. Yeah.
It is, darling. Darling. Oh.
Microphone.
When I listened to Ab talk to John Adams the other night, I think John Adams didn't want to sort of let his voice really go. He sort of held back a little bit with his voice. Get in there. And yes. Yeah, it was really good though. He did. He did help. Well, he seemed to have held back with his voice. Well, he didn't start screaming like you, Tommy.
Those boys are quite talented mimics, aren't they? They're very good with voice.
They are. Yes. He does a really good Alex Jones, doesn't he? And
Who
can? I like your accent that you were doing before. The fucking what fucking accent were you fucking doing? You fucking cunt!
You can't even fucking speak. It's like Glasgow, sit there fucking hitting you. Get up.
This isn't for children. This podcast isn't for children that have sensitive ears to bad fucking language.
What are you hoping for? I was hoping for. I'm looking between 8 and 12 years old.
Did you enjoy John Lebon? What did you call John? What did you call John Lebon? Supercilious, or when he was trying to talk to.
What, John? No. Did I call him that? I didn't call him that.
In the lovely comment. Let me just write.
Context, please. I said at his worst, supercilious.
Ah. In my opinion. What was the other word? At his worst, supercilious or
sanctimonious.
Sanctimonious. That's the one. It's always funny. It's always funny when, like, he needs to butt in a bit more. When it's a conversation, he just lets typo and his mate go right at the end there. It's as funny as fuck.
I've got no problem. Listen, you can start arguments. No, stop it. He was fine on that audio. And I spoke to him in the lobby prior to him going on the audio. And at the end of the day, you know, be pleasantly talking to him, you know, had a nice conversation. So
I like it.
I think it was just. At the same time, he is one of the personalities. If there is any sort of scene around here,
sure,
be on it because he's got personality, and he'll get up and stand up and talk to anyone. Like I said on there, so that's how I'm playing it these days. I think everyone's an agent. What do you think?
Well, am I an agent or a pretty crappy one, Tommy? JLB is a pretty good cricket player from what he tells me, so he can actually I wouldn't want to be at the crease when he's letting one rip. He'd probably bowl it at my head.
Are you? No, he's a batsman, isn't he? Did you say, or is he a bowler as well?
I think he's an all-rounder.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, well, I'd say he said it on the audio the other night. He appreciated hearing Taipo and I talking about the cricket, so yeah, that was cool. You know, you just get a little conversation about cricket in the middle there. But yeah, all good. Yeah,
well, cricket's a great game to play. Have you ever played it, Tom?
It's rubbish. I'm really not a very good cricket. I'm a really sporty when I was younger. I loved it, and I loved and watched cricket and tried to play it. But it was never, bowled for a little while. I was a fast bowler, but I almost got the yips when I was about 14, and I just couldn't, you know. And I went to slow bowling, and then I was wicket keeper for a little while, but couldn't bat. Not a natural batsman.
Did you play on turf or did you play on concrete or on AstroTurf or?
Oh, no, our school we had, you know, manicured cricket pitches.
Look, I always like playing on AstroTurf because the ball skids on and you can you can really get a hold of it. When you're on turf, because you got the you don't know what the bloody ball is going to do, and I was bloody hopeless.
Bunch of fucking convicts. Yeah, still can't play fucking.
Hey, I'm one of you, mate. Remember, I was born in Barrow Inverness. I'm not a convict.
Now you're English, really, don't I? Yeah.
We only left because Margaret Thatcher, Maggie the cunt, is the reason we came out here. That's what my parents tell me.
You were born in a barrow in Furness.
Have you ever been there? Have you been there?
Afford a taxi?
The Shiptown.
The barrow in Furness. Is it in the northeast?
Yeah.
Listen.
No. Newcastle's on the east. Barrow in Furness is on the west.
Okay. Yeah. So it's that high up though.
Yeah, you're just below the Scottish border. Yep.
Really?
Mm. Have we lost each other?
Yeah. Good lad. He's a good lad.
Are you enjoying this new app? Are you on your phone or are you in your studio? Oh, you're in your studio because you've got your piano.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky in my area. Yeah. I'm going to get a snooker table in here, I think.
Are you?
Well, yeah. Only a six.
Are you good at it? Do you play billiards or pool or snooker?
Well, I grew up with snooker, really. Obviously, pool as well, but football, pool or whatever. But snooker, really. When I grew up,
are you going to get a full size one? A full size snooker?
A 6 foot one. Yeah.
Shit. Good God, you got to be good at. You got to be good if you've got one of those.
Right, I'd love to have that. I've not got the room or the resources right now to buy one of those.
Oh, sorry. Yes. I thought you were talking about the big ones at Eddie Charlton and Walter Lindrum and,
Robertson is your Australian one at the moment, or the one from Australia at the moment. But, yeah, that's right. Horace and Walter Lindrum, they were old classics. I think they both won the World Championship at one point. But,
Eddie Charlton was my favorite. He was like, I think he was one of the best that never won like the big prize, but.
He was always the person I thought of when I wanted to stop myself having an orgasm for 2 foot.
I've heard that joke. Yeah. You're having sex with a woman. Yeah. And you want to stop. Donald Bradman was the one I got told to think of.
Bring up Eddie Charlton with me. And I've only got one Eddie Charlton joke, you see. Yeah, but the thing is, Eddie Chubb was a bit boring, but he was Australian, and I suppose he was all right, and he should have won it in about 73 in Australia, but fucking Ray Redden, he was ahead, but Ray Redden came back, won about the last 5 frames and won it. So I felt a little bit sorry for Eddie, who died perhaps in his 60s, and you kind of wish you always...
Yeah, a bit young. Yeah, a bit young. He had a wicked hairpiece at the end.
He always had a was that a hairpiece where he had? I thought it was his own hair.
I think it was a wig before advanced hair. We have all this new modern technology that they can make hair grow back.
Down, mate. Snooker. What about you?
Look, if you want to talk sport and a good sport that I'm pretty good at is darts. I can throw a ton 80. Can you?
I've got now in the new games room that I've decided to have. You know, as I come out of my sort of into a positive mode, and
sure,
think, I'm going to make myself a nice area that I'll enjoy. Get back some of the vitality of life and the youth that I had, the things that I used to enjoy. And
aren't you still hosting? Comedy nights or something where you get on stage and introduce people?
It's an open mic night, so it's not a comedy night.
Open mic, that's right.
Have a few laughs down there, you know. A few laughs. I compare.
You're still doing that?
Yeah, I do that.
That's it. And it takes a certain amount of balls to get up on stage and get in front of people and do shit like that. I know, I've done it for years. God.
Pair of balls, mate. Yeah.
Sure. Oh well, look. I used to run trivia nights and all sorts of things, and I'm not frightened of getting up. Yeah, but darts is one of the in 2001, Tommy. I've got the biggest trophy here. When I hit, what did I hit? A 138 peg. What did I do? I hit a triple 20, double 18 to go out. And I won the award that year for the biggest peg out here in Australia.
A tidy three dart outshot with two trebles. Oh man.
It is. But the real way you're supposed to.
138, hold on, was the finish that Keith Deller did against.
Hold on, I'll go and grab my trophy. I just want to make sure I got that right. Hold on a sec.
Tired in 1983, I think. Keith Deller from Ipswich. He left in 138. I might be wrong there. I might have to look that up. He left to Keith Deller from Ipswich, this outsider, this kid who just come through, who had chalk on his darts, who used to shudder every time they went into the board. He left him with 138 when he could have tried to check out, I believe, on 100. He missed a 20 or so. I can't remember exactly.
Tommy, are you still there? Okay, so it was 2001. Now it's the NDDA Inc. Winter Comp, highest peg out. Now it was 136, not 138. Now I actually, the guy that actually runs Darts Australia is a good friend of mine, Greg Clegg. He actually brings all the big dart players down here to Australia. And I actually equaled him that year. Now, the way to do a 136 peg is normally triple 20, double eight. Now, I did it the other way. I did a triple 20, double 20, double 18, because my I can't add up, and my coach was just being hilarious. And I hit it and won the game for us.
beautiful, man.
So I've got the trophy right here. It's like one of the
138.
136.
All right. It's funny because you said 138, and I nailed it.
Yeah, I know. I got it wrong.
Yeah, but I nailed it without Della, and I just looked it up, and it was that 138. It was funny. So that's a classic darts number to have nailed a 138. Anyway. You're a darts man. Oh, right. Excellent. Yeah, that is a sport that you can really play when you're pissed out of your head, isn't it?
Absolutely. The more pissed you are, there's an envelope, Tommy. There's an envelope.
Never did Jack in the arm. Whoa!
I'm just so glad that you sound so happy and enjoying life. And that's, what you got to do. This can be a tough subject, being a fakeologist and talking about 9/11 and, I don't know, elite gender inversion. Are you massive into that or what?
Elite gender inversion, what, an Unreal's thing? No, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I think there's people in the elite who have inverted their gender. Yes. Is there an epidemic of it? And is it like a proliferation as is suggested, as in, I was having a conversation with Tim earlier where he was suggesting that all supermodels are transgender. You know, so, this seems a ludicrous idea to me. Yes, indeed. And I said, Jerry Hall? And he went, obviously, you know.
Oh, Jerry Hall. Oh, Jerry Hall. Yes, that's right. She was with,
nonsense.
Who was she?
They've got no proof, no evidence. They're just throwing out these spurious accusations. It seems to me clearly this a program of disinformation. I've told anyone that will listen, you know, and I think you're all agents. But I'm in a world of disinformation, and I'm having fun. Like you say, nice to hear you sounding, you know, well, you weren't around for a while. Nice to hear you back and chipper mood and not totally.
Yeah, that's right. I had 4 months when I spoke to Kayham. I think that was the last time at Christmas, and then I came back for Good Friday because some people in the Chat Tango, I just logged into Fakeologist and people, where's Rollo? I'm going, all right, okay, well, don't worry, I'm not dead. I'm just doing something else, you know. It's one of those things.
Your mate was dead though, wasn't he?
He's gone. He's tits up.
Did he just
a massive heart attack? Just dropped dead.
Oh, right. Massive.
Yep. 44.
What does anyone ever say they had a tiny heart? I suppose they do sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
He abused anabolic steroids, and that's what finished him off. But it's the troublesome part is he has relatively young children, three of them, and that's you know, without a father, it's anyway. That's a Debbie Downer. I don't want to dwell too much on those sort of subjects. I think
without having children puts another dimension. I certainly
have any. Do you have children, Tommy?
Be around as long as you can for them. Have I any children? Yeah, I've got a daughter. And,
that's right. You do too. That's the picture you always use, your daughter looking up, that picture you used back in.
Yeah, I don't know where you're looking, but yeah.
Fakeologist site. Years ago, you used to have that picture of her looking up.
Paris is 13. And then I got two stepsons as well, who I sort of grew up with for a period of my life. So I sort of feel some affiliation to them. And, yes. So yes,
but how old is your daughter now? Is she grown up? She must be old.
13. Old.
13. Oh my goodness, a troublesome age.
Difficult because you just got it's an exciting age, but at the same time it's such an in between age, and I can just see her. She'll never be in this morphing stage again. So quite, you know, she hits this civilization, you know, and I can see it all happening, you know, it's having to take it all in.
Do you talk to her about
Sorry?
Do you talk to her about fakeology? Do you talk to her about 9/11 being a scam?
Yeah, she knows what I think about these things, you know, and I just try and do it gently, you know, and not with a negative outlook on it, you know, more like it's amazing, really, the truth is more amazing than we know. And that they let you know. And I let her know that there's kind of magic in the world and that it's special and beyond what we are told, which is what I do believe. So, I don't feel guilty saying it, that I'm telling her a fantasy story, like, you know, there's a Father Christmas or something. So
I think you would be a great father. I mean, way better than way better than my father was to me, but, my old man, he's okay now. He was a bit of a cunt when I was young, but I wasn't the best child either. So,
no, I can imagine you were a real cunt, and you probably deserved every fucking whipping you got.
God, he thrashed the crap out of me. That was the thing I didn't like. I would never do corporal punishment on any child. I mean, the thrashings I got for no reason. He's got better in his older age. And I think he regrets.
Yeah.
He regrets what he did to me.
Yeah.
But I'm not only shit from him. I cop shit at school because my old man, I'll keep it general. I don't want to be too specific. When I moved, to a new place, he, retrenched like half the bloody town. And I had to go to school with the kids. Fathers didn't have any jobs anymore because he sacked them all. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I had to go to school, with the kids, with fathers with no jobs that knew that my old man was responsible.
Right.
He had to keep the business going.
Is this analogous to big power and, being able to go to the same schools?
I got the shit kicked out of me, and until my friend, my big friend, that I befriended, saved me from this pummeling. That's why I was so sad when he passed away young.
Oh, that was him.
When he died young.
That was he saved you from a pummeling when you were kids.
That's right.
And there he was 3 years younger than you. But he must
No, we were the same age. I just didn't know. It was my other friend that told me it was 44 when he died. He wasn't 47. He was 44. Fuck me, that's too young to die.
Let's get this clear then. So it was the same bloke that died who saved you when you were younger?
At school, yeah.
Your dad owned the factory.
I'll say his name. I'll say his name on air. His name was Scott Odlum. Yeah, Scott Odlum. Yeah, great guy.
You done well. So how old were you when this happened, when you were getting beaten up at school?
Well, that would have been 1986. I would have been, 16, wouldn't I? I was born in 1969. You were obviously born in 1967.
Correct, sir. Yes.
I look again. I don't want to be Debbie Downer on this thing because I had such good times at school. Like when Ab said that he didn't enjoy his time at school, it's a very sad thing for me. But maybe it just created his personality. Now you know how Ab's not really jokey or any. He's real a straight man, but I guess he's got to deal with a lot of different people when he's online and to sort of keep it straight, especially when he's talking about fakeologists, different subject to the mainstream.
I think he is quite fun. I mean, he lets anything go. He's done it. He's very easy going. You know, fuck it. We're still here, aren't we? Messing about. You know?
Yeah. Well, look, he's let me and you be on fakeologists for. I remember talking to you 5 or 6 years ago. I think we've spoken to each other for about 6 years now, I think. Not that long? Maybe five.
Maybe. I don't know. Let me think. What year is it? I think it's probably more like 4 years, 2013.
I remember the first time we ever chatted together, but when you used to... you opened a packet of crisps one day and you caused Crisp Gate.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that packet of crisps? It right, caused all sorts of goddamn issues.
Oh, God. And it's funny, though. I mean, I wonder if people ever listen to these things and think, are these people agents? No, but I mean, I am real. I am actually real. I think this is a world of disinformation we're in. I don't believe any site. I think they're all controlled. Any main site, anything. They all are, aren't they? And but I am real. I am real. So there you go.
You seem real to me. I mean, you're doing a really good job. If you're, what's the point? What's the point of being a paid agent and going to cause trouble? I think there was someone that came into the this Discord thing, Flubber something, and was starting to cause all sorts of issues and.
Oh, yeah. Right, little hubbub for a minute. Yeah. What was he sort of saying?
And then they fucked him off. Yeah, fuck off, troublemakers.
Flubber, blubber.
Blubber, yeah.
Yeah, this Discord is bringing, a few, you know, people can, I don't know. I don't know
weirdos. How you
find it. Can you just find it?
There are prostitutes out there, and I'm talking about, paid people that are paid to disrupt. I mean, the classic is your Bill O'Reilly, and I was so glad to hear he got sacked from Fox. I was so glad. I mean, I know, what's that called? Schadenfreude? It's a Jewish term. What is it? Schaden? You know, when you take pleasure in other people's misfortune or something. But he was such a scumbag.
Sorry, is he suffering misfortune now?
Got it. He's probably living the life of luxury, but the trouble is he's the same level now, Tommy. Me and you chatting away, people can listen to him or they can listen to us.
He was pre-internet, really, his peak in a sense. And, and by the time of 9/11, he was kind of right-wing hawk.
God.
Type and really sort of hard hitting at that 2001.
God, he was terrible. He was terrible. Like, but again, you had to know it at the time. I didn't know until, it was a guy called Gerard Holmgren, but, when Simon Schack did his, masterpiece, that's when it really hit home that, these guys are total scumbags. I was trying to think of who was I trying to think of the other day? Bryant Gumbel and Katie Couric and people like Bill O'Reilly that these scumbags that totally, totally aware. I'm sure of it. How could they not be? They're just paid liars.
I think, yeah, it's interesting how it all works, really, isn't it? Because you can know something is just a complete setup, but you know what? I'm not sure I do know exactly how it works. You know, I still think I'm looking kind of magic tricks, you know, all around me without knowing how they work. I know there's a trick, but I'm just watching a magic show still. Do you see my point?
I think the problem with me, Tommy, is I'm an after the fact type of guy. Whereas I think Ab or, fakeologist prefers, researchers, like people that are actively researching. It's like when you put that finger thing in the, I don't know if you researched that yourself, you know, with the EGI stuff.
Yeah.
You put that, did you research that stuff? Cause I'm not a researcher and.
Well, of course.
I just chatting to people.
Yeah, but
so I feel alone because I know so much of this shit is bullshit, and when I speak to 99% of the other people and friends and that, all believe the mainstream crap. It's a lonely place to be, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. And Tommy, you seem to be out of the matrix or out of the bullshit. So.
Yeah,
that's why that's why I like to come here, I think that's what I think Typo was saying the other day, that it makes him feel centered. It makes him feel, you know, not so lonely in your own mind that other people. There was a guy that Ab spoke to with that fella up at Korea. And it was such a shame that he seemed so afraid to say something because he was going to lose his pension or something. He was like an Air Force guy, and he's like, you know, a Top Gun type guy, and seemed afraid to talk. And it was like,
Tim said it's a bit like more like North Korea, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but the sad part was that. Our old mate O'Halloran, Dan O'Halloran, was doing all the talking for him, that just seemed very strange to me that the guy couldn't speak for himself.
Well, O'Halloran, he's a lad, isn't he? He's funny.
He's got that great voice. Hi, I'm Dan O'Halloran. I didn't know he was a radio guy. Apparently he has podcasts and everything, but I haven't listened to any of them. But
well, he's got me. I was on audio the other night with him, and he was talking about someone he'd known was staying at Bohemian Grove, and he'd seen one of the Rockefellers there changing, and he'd walked past his room, and he looked in, and he's turning. He'd turn into a lizard.
Say so, that. I'm not sure he said that, but I must have missed that bit.
Oh, he got away with it then, did he? No one else heard it. That's ludicrous. I mean, well,
look it up. Let's look it up. Let's look it up and play it.
Very icky. Very icky that was. Yeah, honestly.
I thought the Queen. I thought the Queen died the other day. There was a whole bunch of stuff in the news.
I mean, honestly, this is what I'm saying. It's a world of disinformation. You get on an audio, and the next thing you talk to someone, he seems like a nice bloke you met in Korea, and then his ex-military comes in. You wonder where he's from. You don't know. You can't. I mean, half the time you don't know what to who to trust. Someone doesn't necessarily have to be an agent. All they need to do is just slip in one little bit and do everything else totally normally. Do you know what I mean?
Tommy, who do you do you trust yourself? Do you trust yourself?
Yes.
There you go. As long as you trust yourself.
Exactly.
And you trust yourself to teach,
and I know I trust myself to know what I'm doing,
and I trust you to teach your daughter some of the stuff you've learnt from fakeologist, and maybe she'll change the world. Who knows? I'm sure that Typo said the other day, you just need to change one person, and one person can change the world. It certainly won't be Donald Trump or Margaret Thatcher.
No, And certainly when the world changes, it will still be under control as it morphs into another version of itself. And people who are still looking in control will be able to remain there. That's what it seems to me. I couldn't see any way out of it other than that. But what I could see in the changing the mind of those that are in control slowly over time. I don't know how that changed. I don't know. Maybe it has.
I spoke to Just Saying Dude the other day, and he said that you and him had a massive chat in the lobby and you didn't record it all. What sort of topics did you bring up with him?
Just basically, you know, bondage,
bestiality, yeah. Fucking animals for the people across the pond who don't know what that is.
And athlete's foot.
Yeah, stinky feet.
No. I can't remember. I can't remember exactly what we spoke about. I don't know. Yeah, I had a chat with him, but then I haven't heard from him since. We had a bit of fun with Typo as well, and he was doing some work over there. It's quite nice hearing someone doing an audio like that, because you almost imagine him over there in Australia, you know, in the morning.
Yeah, it's 9:58 in the a.m. here. So what time is it there where you are, Tommy, in Cambridge? 1 a.m. Yeah.
So, yes, I didn't mean to come in here for too long, and I best sort of toddle off at some point. Otherwise, I'll never get to sleep.
It's fine. Like, I was like talking to real people, and you're not a paid agent as far as I can tell. But,
No, I'm not a paid agent.
Paid, what?
Shill? Would you call it a shill? Is it what you are? Or just a troll?
I know that John LeBon finds that word particularly offensive.
Shill, you're a shill, Peter. And you're
okay, so everybody listening to fakeologist.com, fakeologist.com, go over to BillO'Reilly.com. Don't listen to fakeologist.com. Go to BillO'Reilly.com. There's where you're going to get the real truth. Now, that's what's called shilling right there.
You're good at it, aren't you? Because you slipped that one in there without me knowing it. Another one.
You've got to have a sense of humor. And that's when Typo said he's not here for comic relief, Typo is just naturally funny. I think he's just naturally amusing, and especially when he's
like him. Hold on, yeah. Hold on, Dave's coming on there. Done. Yeah, please, no, put that. Oh, there's the cat. Oh, me lovely. Hello, me catty cat. Oh, you beast. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you've got John LeBon trying to carry on a serious conversation with him, and he's got Stan there going,
I'll fucking love you, you fucking cunt. I was fucking pissed off.
I was a boxer when I was a boxer.
You fucking say it.
Oh my god, that was funny. Honestly, I don't laugh very much, but when I listened to that twice, I laughed so hard.
That was
with John LeBon trying to carry out a serious conversation, and there's bloody Typo going, "Don't fucking spill that! You fucking spill that!" And this and that, and all sorts of crazy shit's going on in the room.
Hold on, wait a second. Listen to
John. Do you know John LeBon reminds me of Captain Mannering in Dad's Army? Because Captain Mannering was this guy that always wanted to be taken seriously, and everybody else laughed at him. You know what I mean? He's still alive. Ian Lavender, the guy that played Pike, is still alive. He's the only one we've still got left, I think. Yep. He's the only one.
Yeah,
but still from that era.
Quite recently, I think the air raid warden and the vicar were still alive, but yeah, they were pretty old.
No, they're gone. No. We lost. No, actually, you're right. I think the vicar's still alive. Okay. because they did a remake. Yeti, I don't think it's coming yet. What is it about to come? Is it
another fucking hour of this shit?
What's his name? The vicar. I forgot. I forgot.
This is the stuff they want, isn't it? Yeah, this is what Tim wants. Yeah, promotion. And ladies and gentlemen, you're listening. This is Tom Dalpra, and you're listening to Fakeologist.com.
All right, you got to do the. But why don't you do it in a crazy way? Hey, this is Tommy Dalpra. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Don't panic.
Don't panic. Yeah. Oh, I don't think any. If Ab listens to Ab's. Did you listen the other night? The other night, between him and talking to the fella in Korea and him talking to Unreal, there was a 5-hour gap, and there was just like that.
Four of them or something.
It was just went bang, bang, bang. And you knew that it was a 5-hour gap between the chat the Korean.
5
and,
hours.
And he didn't edit that out. He didn't.
There was 5 of those, maybe. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
There were. There were 5.
Yeah.
But he didn't. You think you'd take it out? There it is.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.
Drag him in. Can you drag him in, or do you want me to do it?
No, he can do it. I'm in.
Look, here we go. Now, how do I drag him into the live stream? Come on, Frank. I haven't spoken to him in bloody years. How do I do this? Do I just do that? Frank, come into the live stream. He's always good for it. Always good for a laugh.
Good laugh for a bit. We're going to have a bit of a sparring match with him.
I think he's still trying to work. What's that mean, that three little flashing dots over his icon there?
Getting that. 3 little flashing dots. I don't know.
You're not on your phone. Though. You must be on your PC.
I can't see it. I'm on my PC. It doesn't matter. He knows. He said he's just woken up. I think it's fine. Fine. He's got 2 pots of salt on his icon now, on his thumbnail.
Let me just send him a message. Come
by someone who promoted Dallas Goldbug so relentlessly.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to feel that someone is being a
clown. Right. Well, if he wants to say that again, that's his prerogative.
So let's not bring it up. Don't mention the war. Don't mention Dallas
Goldberg. I mentioned it once. I think I got away with it. That's Faulty Towers.
Saying how wonderful he was on Chris's show and how much support he has garnered for his stunning performance on Christopher's show. But no, I have to ask.
Did you listen to Chris and Jaron?
Yeah.
He's in the salt. I just got a message back. He says he's in the salt mines. Chris and Jaronism. Did you listen to that? And have you had a comment on it?
It's fine. He's good man. Sorry, about what? Sometimes.
Chris and Jaronism had a chat about Flat Earth, and apparently Chris is a ball man, and
that's a divisive way of putting it. I think he's calling this Flat Earth this bullshit, this movement that they haven't got enough evidence and they haven't got a model that's right, and it's like not sort of focused. Really, that's more that came out of it for me. Chris wasn't really sort of saying, he was still saying he's agnostic or the other. But he wasn't going to be believing more towards the flat earth with the evidence that he was shown. But I think, yeah, what the fuck do I know? You know?
It looks flat to me, Tom.
Now you're around to that. You see, in 2014, when people started...
Around to that. Are you being funny? Now you're around to that. Are you being funny?
Flat out truth, mate. No.
puns galore. You're being very punny. You're a very punny man.
Mate. That out. You know, I mean, I'm not behind the curve. No.
Good Lord. Oh, good Lord.
I'm ahead of the game here.
That wasn't a pun, though.
To be behind the curve is to be behind the game, isn't it? Not really up with
me. That's me all over.
So, you said you're not behind the curve because you think you're on the level now. You're on a flat.
The trouble is, I feel a bit weak sometimes because I don't do any actual research, where others, when Ab's speaking to all these new people that seem to be actively researching and doing stuff, and I just like to comment on it and just laugh a lot of it because it is laughable because it's a tricky business, especially heavy subjects, as Typo says. It's very, very heavy, and it drives you to drink. And speaking of that, I'm going to have to refill my cup. I think Ounce of Salt wants to come in. Come on. What's his name again? Come on.
Frank.
Come into the chat.
For fuck's sake, can't you remember his name? And you're getting a drink at what time of the morning? 9 o'clock.
At 10 a.m.
It's hardly fucking the yard arm as whatever it was. Well, I don't know what the old saying
even,
is.
Not even close to going over the yard arm.
No.
I'm a different kettle of fish, mate.
Yeah. Yes, fine. You're a kettle.
Judge me if you can judge me if you want, but
drink in the mornings, light beer, or is it you straight on the hard stuff?
The hard stuff all the time.
What, like a spirits?
Yeah, pretty much. I mix all over. I mix wine, good wine, and usually do vodka in the morning and whiskey at night.
I like that happily. You get up the next day and you carry on.
Done it for 30 years.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, there are people that go through their life drinking like that. I mean, I am aware of this. And good luck to you, you know.
Look, I know other people that have had liver problems. I don't have hangovers. I don't have if I do absinthe or I do or tequila or something, that kind of messes with me.
Yeah, but you don't need a toot of Charlie to keep you going to drink like that as well. You know what I mean?
Say that again. What did you say, Charlie?
You don't need anything else to keep going. You know, you don't use anything else.
Well, look, cocaine, yeah.
Actually, but you don't use it all the time, or you don't.
I use coke to sober up. Like when I spoke to Ab and that fellow, the AIDS guy, David Crowe, I was smashed out of my mind like an hour before, and I wanted to talk to him so badly, so I thrashed a few thick lines of coke up there and you immediately sort of get centered so you can, you know, make a decent conversation. And I thought it went well. I feel sorry for Tommy Morrison that lost his career. I mean, when Typo was speaking about him, man, he wasn't the best boxer. He got thrashed. Oh man, he was almost killed in the ring. He got knocked out so badly. The guy was interviewed afterwards and said the referee did the wrong thing. How Tommy didn't die that day when he got absolutely, oh God, it's brutal to watch.
Yeah.
Punches just kept on coming. And like he was on his way down and he's still getting thrashed by this big ass guy. And the bloody referee, he should be ashamed of himself why he didn't stop. And the guy that was doing the punching apologized.
On a fakeology line on boxing, I probably said it the other day, but listening to Brian Toohey talking about how he thinks that Ali's fights were fixed, you know, the first one.
Yeah, that's right. Brian Toohey wrote that book about the sporting, the fix in. Yeah.
And then later on, Spinks, I think he lost to Spinks and then he beat him in the return and that was sort of set up. So it was just, you know, good business.
Yeah, well,
the tradition of it all, the grand tradition. We're not surprised, really, I suppose, are we?
I mean, come on. I mean, everybody knows that. Look, you're going to take you're going down in the second. I mean, everybody, that shit's been that. I mean, Don King was the king of that, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it's all right. If you know what the result's going to be, that's powerful.
Smoking a cigarette or what?
Smoking a cigarette.
No, you just sounded like you had a cigarette in your mouth. There was a movie, Snake Eyes. I don't know if you ever saw that. That's a classic about, the fix being in with boxing. There was a little boxing scene in it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, I didn't, you know, I suppose what Raging Bull talks to,
That's a classic movie. Now that would be Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci in 1980. Yeah. Black and white, wasn't it? Didn't they film that in black and white?
Yeah, I remember there's nothing quite like a bit of Pesci and De Niro and some of that acting during that, the black and white somehow seemed to help. It's a bit sort of quite hard work watching, but brilliant.
One of my favorite films. I mean, I guess my favorite boxing film is one of the classics, obviously, is Rocky, because it wasn't so much a boxing film. It was more, a southpaw gets a chance, and apparently Stallone wrote it himself, from what I hear, and made his life for him.
And it's a classic for him, but it never quite did it for me. It always seemed like sort of B-movie sort of... A cartoon to me, that film. But hey, you know.
Where he got the money from, and the producing, if he had no money, but he wrote the script and said, look, I want to be the main guy in it. Like, sometimes I believe, if anyone says anything different, but a lot of people would have looked into that. I just think he's just like Tommy Morrison, a guy that, wanted to get his way out of David Crowe said, get out of poverty, and you just pound weights all day, every day, and it's just like other people like you learn to play the piano and get out of your poverty that way or whatever. Just do it. Do it whatever way you can.
Yeah, I think what for me, if something that you genuinely write reasons and do it passionately, You could find, great results. Do you know what I mean? What you put in, we all know that cliche, but it's sometimes it's difficult to know where to put it in. Sometimes you've got to just go with you've got to let it go where it takes you and just do what you want, reasons. And it will take you to a good place.
That's why I have the highest respect for Ab, Fakeologist. I mean, he's, done the effort, made the site, and look, it looks like it's come to fruition now. This Discord thing seems to be really working for him, and whoever the Discord people who wrote this software, good on them, whoever they are.
Mm. Yes, they can. Fantastic. Congratulations to all at Discord. Yes, a big pat on the back from us here at Fakeologist. We're saying we're trying this out for you. Yes, terrific show. And we think it's a goer. Well,
I think we've been going. I think you must have been going for 5 hours now or 6 hours now. So is Frank still with us? Come on, Frank, come on in. I think Frank buggered off.
Well, at least he made appearance. After his appearance on Chris's show, he probably feels famous and almost has gone coy, thinking, "Look, just step back for a little bit now before you make your next appearance." Next time he'll be on, he'll probably have a video call thing up and he'll have a suit on or something. Who loves a baby? I'm going to go because otherwise I'll never get to bed.
Well, let's think of a tune to go out with. Come on, Tommy. Tommy, what's one of your favorite tunes? I'll play it. One of your favorite tunes?
I always never know. Warbush Cannonball by Jerry Reed.
Warbush Cannonball. Let me just set up all the audio here and all the levels. Warbush, was it Warbush Cannonball? Can you send me the link? Put the link in the general chat.
W-A-B-A-C-H. W-A-B-A.
I'm working out.
W-A. I couldn't send you the link, couldn't I?
Cannonball, Jerry. Raid. I mean, it sounds all. Here we go. Yeah, I got it.
The record, not the video of him.
I don't have the record. I can only play this, the video.
Fine. There's the record, 236. I see it here.
Send me the one. Send me the version you want.
Do it. I'll send you the version.
Link. Yeah, the link in the general chat.
Okay.
I see you typing now. Yeah. You put it in the other chat, haven't you? You've put it.
Record of all time? No, it's not. It's just I like the groove, and it'd be nice to play out with. It's my sort of. It's it's kind of.
I'm trying to find it. Where the hell did you put it? Let's hold on.
It in the general chat, and you've got to go. If you're not in general, you've got to click on general.
Ah, shit! Oh yeah, I'm not down the bottom. Hold on, it's been going. Maybe that's one of the failings of. Come on, get down there, you bastard! I'm using my little wheel to get down there. There we go. Ah, there we go. I've got it, mate. Thank you. Open link in new tab. All right, you want that version, which is off the record.
Yes, seamlessly. Yeah, if anyone's listening, it's like it's watching paint dry. Thanks for watching Paint Dry Radio. You have been listening to Fuck All.
All right, Tommy, thank you, mate. Thank you for chatting with me. And who else do we have to thank tonight? Ab came in. Who else? ABZZ.
And yes, thanks everyone. It's been a wonderful time spending time with you. And yes, don't let it get you down. It's all right. Find your own way in life and you can find a special place. Free from all these
fakeologists.com. Jerry Reed, Washback. Here we go. Washbash Cannibal. See ya.
From the big Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific Shore. As she glides along the woodlands, through the hills and by the shore. Well, she's mighty big and handsome, and she's known quite well by all. She's a regular combination called the Wabash Cannonball. Well, now she came in from Birmingham one cold December day. And as she rolled into the station, well, you could hear all the people say, now there's a little gal from Tennessee, she's long and she's tall. She just came in from Birmingham on the Wabash Cannonball. Claxton may his name forever stand, and always be remembered in the courts throughout the land. His earthly race is over and the curtains around him fall, and we'll take him home to victory on the Wabash Cannonball.
Hi, I'm Twitter at Mark Manuel, and I recommend that you check out fakeologist.com.